The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. I do a radio show on WayFM and share life from the lens of faith, family, and fun. And I just wrapped up my first year of motherhood. And you contributed to this podcast. If you asked a question online, this is my very first Q&A. So my producer, Party Hardy, is going to be in studio with me. We compiled the best questions, and there were so many. This is actually going to be two podcasts. So this is the very first part. And at the very end, we will wrap up with a question. Someone wanted to know what I wish people kept to themselves about parenting before I became one. You'll be surprised at my answer. But first, we're going to start by talking about my mom and the things I understand about her better after becoming one myself. Being a parent is one of the hardest jobs in the world. You don't know what you don't know. And this is my very first year as a parent. My kid is 15 months. I used to hate it. Producer Party, when people were like, my kid's this many months. I'm like, don't make me do the math.
I still hate it. So
sorry. Now I get it, because you want credit for every month you've kept them alive. So we're doing our very first Q&A where you asked questions about how my first year as a mom went, how it's going. And I'm going to go ahead and answer those. So producer Party's here with me. We have your questions and we're going to do our best to get to every single one. So yours might be included if you submitted one on social media.
Yeah. Are you ready to jump into it?
I'm scared. I feel like I'm on the hot seat.
I'm going to try doing like a like a softball?
Yes, a softball first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll start with actually your experience as a daughter to your mom.
Okay.
And the stuff that was probably a little bit crazy when you were growing up. And you're like, mm-hmm. Why does mom do that? Well, was there anything that your mom said or did that makes complete sense now that you've experienced being a mom?
I understand why she was so sassy all the time. It's so stressful. Well, this is kind of weird, and I don't talk about this a lot on the show. I'm a pastor's wife, and my mom was a pastor's wife. And because of that, I said I would never be one. And God was like, joke's on you. Yes, you will. So my mom was late for church every single Sunday. Of course, my mom's late for everything. She's always been late. And my dad would get so frustrated with her. And as I got older, I just thought, like, why can't you be on time anywhere? Why? I just don't get it. And I've never been great at being on time. I'm never on time with my kid. Like,
right.
I literally, the daycare has like a certain time that the doors lock for the day and you can't get them in. And I always open the door 1 minute before the doors lock every single day. Because now I understand that when you're going to put a kid in the car seat, like this morning, my son refused to be in the car seat. I had to physically fight him into the car seat. And my mom, there are four of us growing up. We'd get in the car and she'd be like, you don't have your shoes on. And this one over here is like throwing up. And this one forgot to eat breakfast. And this one, you know, doesn't have a jacket. And so it was always pandemonium. And my mom, especially on Sundays, had to get all of us there alone. I'm like late every single Sunday because I have to get my child there by myself. I struggle with one. So the fact that she got four of us anywhere, I think she's like the most amazing woman ever. And sometimes she'd have to like pull over on the interstate and like beat us on the way to church. We'd be so bad. Never happened to you, Party? You were getting fights with your brothers?
I was a pretty good kid.
I liked the thing,
but my memory might be very different.
You go easy on the youngest. I was in the middle, so I was right in the brawl with everybody. So yeah, I think she's really tough and I respect her so much.
Yeah, that's like a classic example of like not judging someone until you walk a mile in their shoes. And now you have many more miles to walk of your mom's shoes.
That's so true. Is you just think, why can't you get it together? And then when you are a parent, you realize it's just survival and you need grace upon grace.
Yeah. Well, kind of moving on to your own experience rather than looking at your mom, what has it been like being a wife, the pastor's wife, as you said, mom, and still doing your career in radio? What has that challenge been like for you?
It's been really hard. I'll be really honest with you. A lot of the stuff I haven't said anywhere. So some of it I've said to Party, like off the air, but I've just had a really hard time with it, a much harder time than I thought I would. So I'm no one to say, I've like rocked it all. But I respect the women who are doing it. Francesca Battistelli, the artist, came in this week and she's about to have her sixth kid. She was just in a movie. She's releasing a new single. She homeschools her kids. And I was like, are you about to explode?
Right.
Like, where are you on the stressed line? Because I don't know how she's doing it all. And people look at me and say that. And you just do it. You do what you have to do. And I try really hard to get it all done. But what I'm learning is that as a mom, what gets left out is you. You don't always have time to take care of yourself. That's why you're tired a lot, because there's not time for rest because you're taking care of your family. So I'm trying to find balance, but I don't really know that it exists. I think like perfect balance is a straight up lie. But here's what I will say. I actually talked to a friend about this week, that there are days when I feel like I kill it at my job and do an awesome job as an employee. And then there are days I feel like I kill it as a mom and I do an awesome job. But when I kill it in one of those areas, I feel like the other area fails that day. And that's okay, because you're not going to kill it in every area every day. Like yesterday, my son wasn't feeling great and had a runny nose and I just wanted to be with him, but we had a lot here at work, like a photo shoot and stuff I just couldn't miss. And so I got here and I got really focused and I got a lot of stuff done, and driving home I thought, I like feel like I really killed it as an employee today. But going home, I felt like I just missed out on some time with my kid that I wish I had. So I'm trying to be okay with not being able to do 100% at everything all the time, and know that it's going to ebb and flow, and like the people in my life just have to give me grace.
Yeah, that is a really interesting balancing act, because it's like you kind of, if you're not careful, you'll feel guilty either way. Like, oh, I should have been a better radio show host.
Yes.
Oh, I should have been a better mom today. And yeah, you kind of really give yourself some.
Yeah, I feel like that's where mom guilt comes in, because Monday my kid was really sick and I came in quick and then worked the rest of the day at home. And I felt like a great mom that I was there for him, but like did not get all the stuff here at work done.
Yeah.
So it ebbs and flows for sure.
Well, we've talked about career and we've talked about being a mom as a challenge. Well, what about like being the pastor's wife? What was a challenge with that? Like, how has the marriage changed in general after being a mom?
Oh,
big,
snap.
Big question.
We gonna go there.
Yes.
Okay. Honestly, having a kid has been such a struggle on my marriage. And I'm just going to always be honest with you about stuff like that. I wish somebody had told me how hard that would be. But what's been helpful in this season is that people who have young kids have said, this will probably not be the most flourishing, vibrant, best time in your marriage, because it's just so hard and you're trying to figure out how to take care of this little person and keep them alive. It's getting a little bit easier now that my kid can like feed himself and walk and like at least point to things and kind of let us know what he needs, but it's still really, really tough. I think that people who are like, our marriage isn't going so great, let's have a kid, that will like really bond us together, I am like, mayday, mayday, that is a terrible idea. Do not do that. Because it just is so hard. You don't have time for yourself. You certainly don't have time for each other. We have fought more than we ever have before, because trying to get on the same page with parenting is crazy. I'm like, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? And he's like, you're crazy. Why are you acting like that?
And you guys have probably been raised differently, you know?
Oh, yeah. For
so those,
sure.
That's showing up.
I mean, my family like spanked us all the time, and my husband was like perfect. He's like, I think I maybe was spanked once. So we're like, what do we do with our kid? I don't
know. Yeah.
Discipline's been crazy. We don't know anything about that. But we are actually looking for a marriage counselor right now, because I'm such an advocate of counseling and talking to somebody who can just help hear both of you and bring you to a compromise. And that's not because we're in a terrible place, but because we haven't focused on our marriage much in the last year. And I know that going to counseling will put a magnifying glass on some of the problems. And I tend to be that person in my marriage who, when there's stuff under the rug, some people will just be like, we're fine, everything's fine. And then it like builds and builds till it's a mountain that is much harder for the two of you relationally to conquer. And even when it's like tiny under the rug, I'm like, oh, we're shaking out this rug and we're gonna sweep it out like right now. And my husband's like, okay. So
yeah,
he's like, I think we're doing pretty great. I'm like, we are, but we could be doing better. So we're gonna invest in our marriage in that way soon. Taking a quick break from the conversation to tell you about our show sponsors. If someone told me they were a part of a Chicken of the Month club, I would think that they were getting free Chick-fil-A every single month, but we've actually partnered with Food for the Hungry, and when you join the Chicken of the Month Club, you're providing two chickens to a different vulnerable family every single month. Here's why that's so important, because there are families struggling with hunger around the globe right now. In fact, Marta is a woman who lives in Bolivia, and her kids were underweight and unhealthy, and all they had was corn and potatoes to eat. But they got to take advantage of this Chicken of the Month Club, and they received two chickens. And now that they're laying eggs, her kids are getting healthier by the day. They are in school, and that all happened because of a generous person like you. We've partnered with Food for the Hungry because they are a Christian organization that is going to the ends of the earth to help the most vulnerable people. All you have to do to help provide two chickens every single month for a different family is go to fh.org/joy and give that $28 a month. You can give that sustainable source of protein for a family that desperately needs it. Click the link in the show notes or go to fh.org/joy. Being in the grocery checkout line with a sleeping toddler is stressful. I was trying to get out the other day when I realized one of my packages of frozen vegetables was sliced open. So I tried to hand it to the cashier and he said, "Ma'am, it is not your turn. I'm going to need you to step back." That is not the kind of attention and one-on-one care I needed in that moment. And this is why we are confident working with United Faith Mortgage. Because when you're in need, buying a house or working on your current mortgage, you need someone who's going to give you personal, one-on-one attention. And that's exactly what their small faith and family team will do. United Faith Mortgage also has this direct lender advantage. See, that means there's no middleman. And this advantage often can save you monthly and lifelong money. So if you want to refinance your home or you're just looking to get into that home of your dreams, check out UnitedFaithMortgage.com. That's UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Well, we've been kind of vague about what particular challenges were. Being like, oh yeah, it's just been hard, blah, 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 blah. What are like some specifics? Like what was the most challenging thing, like number one
in marriage,
just in general? The first year of motherhood in general?
I would say for us, we had unique challenges with my kids, some health stuff at the beginning that caused a lot of anxiety and even some trauma, I would say, that have become like undercurrents in our first year of parenting. That
like a paranoia type of undercurrent?
I would say things that cause us to like fight with each other or things that cause us like anxiety with our kids. So because our kid had health challenges in the beginning, anytime he's sick or has a health problem, we both like get hyper anxious and hyper freaked, and it can cause us to like snip at each other, and because we're first time parents, we don't know what to do with him. So health stuff has been really tough for us, and we're in a season, party knows this, where my kid is sick every 10 minutes. Yeah. Like he literally, since the beginning of the summer, now he's in daycare every other week, he's pretty sick. And so that's been really hard. We're trying to figure out how to be good parents, take care of him. Like, do you take him to the doctor? Do you give him medicine? What medicine? You know, we're just constantly very hyper stressed about his health, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's probably like a first kid thing. People joke that when you have four or five, you're like, they'll be fine. It's not a big deal. But we are both very intense about it.
Yeah. And it's probably a little bit of instincts too, just kind of kicking in of like protection.
Yeah. And some of the stuff was really scary in the beginning, and we had to go to the ER with him, and the details are boring and not important, but because stuff was so scary in the beginning, it almost like it's this thing that can happen where it reactivates the anxiety, even if it's not as serious. So we're still working through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of to switch it up. What was something that you thought was going to be really, really tough and ended up being much easier than you anticipated?
I would try to take notes on some of these because I was like, I want to be able to accurately answer. I think caring for a tiny person was more instinctual than I thought it would be. So I have three brothers, but I hadn't been around a baby in a really long time. So this is kind of funny. I signed up for my church nursery to work with the babies like a year and a half, 2 years before we had a kid, because I knew we were talking about starting a family eventually. And I thought, I need to figure out how to hold a baby. I need to figure out how to change a kid's diaper. And so even though I did not like it, I served in the nursery. And then when the kids would be crazy because they don't want you, they want their mom, I'd be like, I can't do this. I can't be a mother. It's too hard. Kids are too difficult. And so I was very stressed out about it. But once you have that tiny person and once you change your first diaper and give your first couple of baths and, you know, give them a bottle the first couple of times, it's just, you just do it. You know what I mean? You just figure it out. And I was so scared to take care of something that tiny, but CJ used to joke that like, you'll just be carrying him like a football, like week two. And I was like, and then like, it's just true. You're like, you're fine. Come over here. And you just like throw them around and in a careful way, of course. But yeah, you just
on the couch.
You're like, you're fine. Everything's good. So that came to me faster than I thought it would.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm still at a stage where like if someone just had a baby, like, hey, you want to hold him? I'm like, oh.
Party did not want to hold that baby when he saw
him. No. I'm worried I will do something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was too. Even in the hospital, they like laid him on my chest after I gave birth to him. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't even want to touch him or pick him up. Yeah, it's crazy.
So this will kind of get into like more advice oriented stuff. What is one thing that you wish someone had told you before you got into this whole motherhood business?
Honestly, I wish someone would have told me how awesome that it is. Because
no one told you that?
CJ said kids are magic a lot, but I don't know what magic is. I didn't really understand it. And some of it you can't understand until you have one, but it's a balancing act because I think a lot of people have experienced loss or miscarriage, sadly, or the inability to have children. And because of that, I think we don't celebrate how wonderful it is enough because you don't want to upset or trigger somebody else who's had a horrible experience. But it's just easier to complain about the tough stuff. I even find myself doing it. And you don't want to make anybody else feel sad that they're not in the experience you are. So we don't often celebrate how sweet it is. But everybody, when I was pregnant, would just be like, oh, you never gonna sleep again. Girl, have some time with your husband because you never will again. I mean, it's like warning after warning. And I wish someone had said that all the tough stuff will somehow be worth it when that kid looks at you and smiles. It's maybe that's what CJ meant by magic, because it doesn't make logical sense that you not sleeping and them being crazy for a full day in an instant where they're wonderful can be worth it, but it just is. And my heart's just never been fuller. And I just wish some more people had celebrated that good stuff with me because I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah. And you kind of poked at it a little bit, but what's one thing that you wish people just kept to themselves?
Ooh, I think
because people over exaggerate all the time, I think, and parenting can get a little over exaggerated.
Yeah,
I would like to say
I would say for sure, like the bad labor stories, like keep that to yourself. Like I for sure had like multiple panic attacks as it got closer to the surgery. I didn't even have the surgery, but to have the baby one night, my husband and I were just going for a drive because it's like mid pandemic. You can't do anything. And I just started like hyperventilating, couldn't breathe. And I was like, I can't have this baby because it's one of the scariest, riskiest things a woman can go through. It's very dangerous. But at the same time, people tell you these horror stories. Women are like, oh, I got that epidural and it sure enough didn't work. And I'm like, don't tell me that. And these other women who were like, you know, just tell you the horror stories of how they pushed for 2 days and then they still had to have a C-section. And everybody has their story and women love to tell them. But if I didn't ask, I just didn't want to know. And I wish people had kept to themselves how little sleep they got. You're not going to get a lot of sleep, but the warnings don't make it any better.
Yeah.
Party people, when I was pregnant, kept being like, you better sleep now, girl, because you're never going to sleep again.
It's
and
like,
I thought,
so unhelpful.
Well, and when you're pregnant, you're so uncomfortable, you can't sleep. And towards the end, you got to pee every 2 seconds. And so you're certainly not sleeping. And so I thought, if this is the end of the sleep I get, I'm in so much trouble because I'm not sleeping now. So those warnings, people think it's funny. It's just not helpful. It really isn't. I'd rather people say, you will sleep again because you will. For the most part now, my kid sleeps through the night, but we probably have like one or two nights a week that are not great, but we're functioning fine. So that's what I tell new moms. It's like, you will sleep again, girl. This is just a season, because I needed that.
Yeah, it makes me think of like when it is getting like way into the night and you're like, oh man, I really got to sleep. And that actually makes it work worse.
I used to have anxiety when Judah was very little. That's my son. I used to get stressed as the sun started going down because nights were that bad. I even said that to my husband the other night. We're crawling in bed, just like reading books, being chill. And I was like, do you remember when the sun would go down and I would start to hyperventilate? And he was like, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're over, you know, they're like a blink of an eye. But in the moment you think, will this last forever? And it does not. Thank you so much for submitting questions for this Q&A podcast. I loved hearing what you wanted to know, and hopefully you found some of it helpful, especially if you're a parent and you thought maybe you were the only one who felt that way. There is more to come. Next week's going to be part two of these Q&A questions, and we get a little bit deeper. I think I say twice in next week's episode, I've never said this publicly before. So it's going to be stuff that you've never heard that might blow your mind. As always, my name is Joy Summers. You can find me on social media under WayFM Afternoons, and I'll see you next week.